Hey, welcome to The Master's Voice, the podcast series from MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pavan R. Chawla, and with me today is someone I've always admired in equal measure for her career and professional achievements in the media and entertainment space, and whom I'm very fond of for the wonderful person that she is. Simran Hoon, Chief Executive Officer, The Q. Simran, welcome to The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com.
Hi, Pavan. Thank you for such a warm welcome. I've known you for so long and always admired you myself. And I'm truly looking forward to this session today. And I hope it's going to be interesting for all of us.
Oh, I'm very sure, Simran. And you're very kind. Simran, thanks so much for your presence and time today. And thanks also to a young PR leader I'm very fond of, Sharon Hendricks of Mondial Communications. Thanks, Sharon, for having made this possible. So, Simran, The Q. Wow. It's a unique offering that aims to cut the clutter in linear television and is doing so too, of course, gradually, because, you know, these things sort of happen in organic steps. But before we get into our chat, Simran, allow me to do you the courtesy of introducing you to anyone who might not be too aware of your profile and experience. So by your leave, here goes. Simran Hoon is Chief Executive Officer at The Q, the fast-growing Hindi general entertainment channel. With experience of more than two decades in the media industry, Simran is one of the youngest women in a senior C-level leadership role in M&E in India. As CEO at The Q, Simran leverages her experience and insights to provide strategic direction to create new opportunities for the company and to drive organizational growth. Since her appointment, Simran has built a strong and robust entertainment ecosystem for The Q. Under her custodianship, the Hindi general entertainment channel has witnessed exponential growth in the industry with several milestones. With a postgraduate diploma in marketing management from the Times School of Marketing, New Delhi, Simran worked as a senior officer with the Times of India Group, thus beginning her journey in the media and entertainment industry. Before joining The Q, Simran held the position of Executive Vice President and Head of Ad Sales at Viacom 18. At Viacom 18, under her leadership, the team successfully established Colors Channel as the leader in revenue amongst all Hindi general entertainment channels. Simran has also worked in various leadership positions at leading media and entertainment conglomerates such as Zee Entertainment Enterprises, Star India and Sony Entertainment Television, where incidentally both of us were colleagues for a bit. Incidentally, I was part of the team that launched Sony Entertainment Television in India in 1995. Well, to come back to Simran, my illustrious guest today, Simran is a Delhi University graduate, and her passion and ethics, and truly these two qualities underline everything that Simran does and so effectively. Her passion and ethics come from her defense upbringing. Those qualities helped her take all the organizations she has worked with on a proven growth track. An ardent result-oriented personality, Simran values hard work and is a risk-taker with astute thinking and creativity. Can never go wrong with that combination. As a proud pet mom, Simran is a member of Pet and Animal Shelter Forums. She's also a keen traveler and a sports person with interests in marathons and horse riding. So that's Simran Hoon, CEO of The Q. Simran, once again, welcome to The Master's Voice.
Thanks again, Pavan.
So, Simran, let's get on to our conversation, right? Give me the elevator pitch to the offering. Why The Q? What's unique about it? Its biggest USPs?
So, Pavan, The Q is, I think we're proud to say that we're India's fastest growing Hindi entertainment channel. We have an omnipresent digital to TV strategy where we cater to young India. We cater to populations which are living in tier 2, tier 3 towns who are currently underserved with good content.
Wow.
So The Q actually curates content from social media creators, from digital creators, and actually programs them for the underserved audiences in tier 2, tier 3 towns. So that is truly the USP of our channel.
Wonderful. It's like, a reverse homecoming from social to linear.
Yes. Any screen, anytime, anywhere.
Wow. So Simran, that's very interesting, and I've seen Watch The Q. I like the basic offering, it's baseline, Zara Hatke. Tell us about that.
Zara Hatke is something that everybody at The Q actually imbibes by. We are Zara Hatke because we are different to any other FTA channel today in the Hindi GEC space. We serve content which is never seen before, it's not the saas bahu, it's not the usual crime, it's not the usual comedy, but there's content which actually people sat up and watched and said, there is something unique about this offering. This content is Zara Hatke. It's a line that actually came up from our viewer study.
Wow.
So that's something we have stuck to. And given that we actually program digital creator content, UGC content for television audiences in tier 2, tier 3 towns. So that's how, you know, we are true to our tagline, Zara Hatke.
Excellent. So what's the distribution plan and status of the queue, the availability footprint in India, if I may?
You know, just to give a little history about us, we were available as a VOD and a DTH before the 1st of April 2021. From the 1st of April 2021, we actually came on to DD Free Dish, and that actually took our entire distribution into a, you know, propelled it into a totally different trajectory where, you know, we actually entered 40 to 50 million TV homes. We also have distribution available in all the key D2H, all the key DTH platforms, whether it's D2H, Tata Sky, Airtel, DTH, and all the other big platforms, besides being available with a lot of MSOs in the country. So while we're available on DD Free Dish, we're also available in all the major MSOs in the country, and especially in the Hindi-speaking markets.
Wow, so you're free to air and you're available all over. That's really good. You did tell me that what kind of audiences you primarily cater to, you know, but my question is, what kind of audiences does the queue appeal to also? I mean, while you are consciously targeting it towards, you know, the tier 2 and 3 towns, I'm sure it must have a very good appeal even across, you know, the tier 1, you know, the dash 1 and the dash 2 places in India. Tell me about what kind of audiences the queue appeals to? How has it grown ever since it was, you know, launched in India? Any insight into viewer consumption patterns across platforms? The floor is yours. Tell us.
So Pavan, if you look at the macro fundamentals of India, we have the youngest population with a mean age of 29 years. There's 50% of Indian population under the age of 25 years. And 65% of the Indian population is under 35 years.
Right.
So the Q actually programs for young India. And when I talk about young India, we're talking about a target group of anybody between 13 years old to a 40-year-old. That's the target segment that we are talking to. While we are talking through, you know, DD Free Dish to tier 2 and tier 3 towns, we are also very urban in our entire programming, because our entire programming is about digital creators who actually appeal to the metro audiences and the smaller town audiences. So we focus a lot on comedy as a genre. We focus a lot on animation. And these are universal genres of programming, whether it comes to the bigger cities or the smaller cities and the core age group that we're talking to. It's essentially family viewing for the young Indian. It's a space that we actually want the queue to stand for, that the queue is a young brand.
Okay.
And not just a TV brand. We are omnipresent, like I mentioned, across, you know, television. We're in over 100 million TV homes. We're in over 600 million mobile devices. And we actually want to stand for a youth brand, which is totally, you know, in sync with the creator economy.
Right. So do you want to just sort of peg the milestones in terms of growth over the past, you said it's the fastest growing linear television channel in entertainment. So do you want to just put some numbers to it?
So Pavan, before we came on to DD Free Dish, I think our GRPs were just 0.5 GRPs. But given the kind of content that we programmed for, you know, an underserved audience, especially in tier 2, tier 3 towns, by coming on to DD Free Dish, we had astounding success and we grew to 51 GRPs.
Wow.
And we continue, I mean, you know, a week on week, while there may be some ups and downs, but that's the kind of peak GRPs we achieved in about 8 weeks of our launch. Hence, we are known as the youngest, you know, Hindi entertainment channel and the fastest growing.
Excellent.
So it's essentially the kind of programming that we were running. A lot of channels in the FTA space, you know, especially from the networks, run content which is you know, it's basically content from their, you know, their paid channels, and it's a little more Saas Bahu oriented, you know, and reruns of their existing content. The queue, for that matter of fact, is so refreshing because this is content never seen before on television. And, you know, the word queue actually also stands for curating. It's like queuing up, you know. Wow. So we actually queue up content for tier 2, tier 3 towns, you know, and content where from the digital economy, from digital creators, content where the viewer does not need to go and discover content by himself or herself. We actually curate content which resonates with their viewing preferences. So this sets us apart from any other channel that is there in the market today.
Excellent. So I understand that the USPs of the Q content are curation, and I'm sure there will soon be creation and acquisition too. I think you all did license something, which was a television format thing.
Yes.
But let's not get into that. I just want to know from you, curation is ongoing. It's part of your name. It's part of the DNA. And curation actually is a great way to pick up, you know, the best creative minds and brains and use their content, which is ready and beautiful and effervescent, actually pick it up and, you know, show it. But what is the process of that curation? How do you identify what kind of content to pick up? What is the duration of such curated content? Because it might be UGC, and UGC normally is of a duration in terms of format, which is probably not standard, and, you know, not doesn't go with a set 3 breaks and 4 segments or what have you. So how do you go about this entire thing? You actually, the world is your oyster, you know, you have so much to curate from, pick and choose from. So uniqueness, definitely a massive strength, but what is the process?
So Pavan, while there's a whole lot of content to be discovered, you know, from the creator economy, from digital creators, UGC content, we have a stellar team that actually goes and searches this content out, and we follow certain genres which we feel, you know, will be refreshing to the audiences that we are talking to. Like I mentioned, it could be in the comedy space, it could be in the animation space. Having said that, while we are curating content from digital creators, we're also entering, and we have entered into some, you know, original series which we have seen in the past. It's been Jurm Ka Chehra, and we're going to be coming up with another series in the month of January, which is going to be our own original production, again in the comedy space, but also being true to our DNA that we actually want to stand for digital creators and the creator economy. We also, you know, acquired content. As you know, we had an MX Player series, Ashram, which we ran on our channel in October. And we're also looking at acquiring content from other OTT platforms, because like I mentioned, this is true to our DNA. We want to program content from, you know, digital creators, whether we curate, create or acquire, so that we can serve that content to, you know, smaller towns and tier 2, tier 3 towns where they don't need to go searching for content. We actually serve it to them, given that there are still issues about broadband, discoverability of content. You know, not everybody in the country has a mobile phone where they want to search for content. But here, there's a channel doing that for you. And we're in over 100 million TV homes. And we all know when it comes to tier 2, tier 3 towns, how many viewers, how many people are there in our household, you know, a multiplier of 4.5 or 5 in smaller towns. And since we have programming which is actually very family oriented, young yet family oriented, and TV is still here to stay. We like, you know, present in, like I said, 100 million TV homes, and, you know, and there are 210 TV homes present today, and we still got a gap of 70 million TV homes to cover. So TV is still around. That's our strategy of basically, like I mentioned, you know, watch me anywhere, anytime, and on any screen, whether it's TV or it's on your mobile device.
Excellent. Normally FPCs or fixed point charts, or the schedules for the uninitiated of television channels, they're in like time slots of half an hour. So what kind of an FPC do you have?
So Pavan, we actually experiment a lot with our FPC, and you know, we have made lots of bands. For example, typically we have, our content is actually very short format. So what we have done in a typical short format content is we experiment a lot with time bands. And that experiment has worked, where we figured out that there are certain time bands where our audiences want to watch animation. There are certain time bands when there's comedy sketch working really well. And of course, at prime time, we've tried some crime series. So we actually keep experimenting a lot to catch our viewers and watching the ebb and flow of viewers today, and especially the kind of target group we are trying to catch, which is a 13 to 40 year old. They are actually very short attention spans, so we do keep a very rotating FPC with certain nuances, with certain fixed things in our FPC. But otherwise, yes, we try to catch our audiences when we feel, and it could change month on month, so we do keep it fluid quite a bit.
Wonderful. And it is actually a channel for young audiences. So, yeah. So, you have a fluid FPC for sure. And that's really good, because it helps you sort of keep one step ahead of, what your audiences will likely want. And it's an ongoing process, like you mentioned very nicely. It's fluid. However, what are the staples of your prime time? When is prime time for you in terms of viewership? Because you have to sell to the advertisers also. So what is your prime time band, and are the staples in prime time, like you said, animation, crime and comedy?
So Pavan, prime time for an FTA channel typically ends at 10 p.m. So, we start a little early. We start at about 6 p.m. and end at 10 p.m. And I think 10 p.m. onwards is where the pay audiences pick up a lot. Because when you're talking about free audiences, DD free dish audiences, they're typically in smaller towns where they start their day very early and they finish pretty early too, compared to us city dwellers. So when it comes to our original productions that we are going to be launching, yes, they will be in a little mid prime time, around 8 to 9 p.m. Like I said, because at 10 o'clock people start switching off, with interesting repeat patterns on the weekdays and on weekends, so that the audiences that we're talking to, like I mentioned, are the kind who have actually stepped out of GEC. We are trying to catch that young audience who has actually left on to search for other content. That's the way we are programming our channel. I mean, we do have a lot of research that the marketing team has done in smaller towns to see what are the viewing patterns, whether, it's the young girl in the family or the young guy in the family who could be going to his father's shop in a small town, in a smaller city, or it could be the girl who's going to college and coming back and helping her family and, doing household chores and doing her own job. So, keeping those audiences in mind, nobody's actually thought about that part of India. And that's what we have done. So while we will always have a prime time viewing, our originals coming in at that point of time, the new shows that we launch. But prime time for us also is, the audience we're talking to is actually watching us in many time bands. So prime time for us is actually very different to the conventional prime time.
And what is the gender and age mix, the demographics?
It's almost 50-50.
Okay. You launched a GEC amidst a pandemic. Now, the pandemic actually probably gave a lot of, ready-made audiences which were locked in their homes. But the point was getting to them, informing them, ensuring that you had their eyeballs, and then you got them on a sustained basis, on the basis of the stickiness of your content. So was a good opportunity and a good time to launch, but it still came with challenges, and which you obviously have overcome very nicely and splendidly, in fact. So tell us about the challenges and the successes of launching a GEC amidst a pandemic.
So, there were a lot of people spending time watching television during the pandemic because of the lockdowns that happened across the country. But I think that was a huge opportunity for anybody who had content which is differentiated, because what was already being served anyway, people were watching on the FTA, on the current FTA channels, people were watching dated content from the bigger networks, reruns from the bigger networks.
Yeah.
But hey, there was this new channel which nobody had heard of. And the kind of, discovery the channel had during the pandemic and the refreshing content that we served during this period, I think made people just come and, watch us. We had a huge, and this is, by the way, without any marketing, without any PR. So there was word of mouth played a very big role in the queue being accepted. you know, so where we became a real buzz, you know, we were just buzzing with our, you know, our core audiences, especially in the Hindi speaking markets, you know, where, like I said, everybody was looking at refreshing content, and there the queue was actually there to serve content never seen before, digital creators coming on television and resonating with, you know, the young audiences that actually had left television some time back.
Okay, you said that there was no PR, no marketing virtually. I'm sure there must have been a little bit of something. Because how did initial discovery for viewers or potential viewers you were targeting, how did that happen? How did you achieve that in the virtual absence of marketing and PR? What did you use?
So, Pavan, actually there was no marketing and PR for the queue.
Okay.
You know, we launched on DD Free Dish, and I think, you know, people had a lot of time to watch television at that point of time, and that was a huge opportunity for us to actually get discovered by audiences. So, you know, in a way, the pandemic was a blessing for us in terms of, you know, the kind of discoverability that we had.
All right, that's great. And did you use the Barker channel on the DTH platform subsequently or whatever?
A bit, yes, we did. We did, just a bit, yeah.
Okay. And how have the advertisers reacted to the queue?
The success of a channel is, of course, determined by, I mean, two factors. One is, of course, you know, the GRPs that you generate. And the second is the unique content that you have on the channel. So I think these two factors really contributed a lot to advertisers, you know, looking at us and coming on board. We've been able to onboard close to 50 advertisers, and whether it's been in the FMCGs or pharma companies and, the payment gateways. So we've been able to onboard about 50 odd advertisers in the last 6 months, and it's been super for us in terms of revenue too, and also having some very big advertisers, including the mid and the small size ones. So yeah, it's all going very well for us.
All right. So Simran, you've been doing so well, very well so far. And you've primarily been, obviously, since you're a Hindi channel, you're in the HSMs, Hindi speaking markets. Regional is also the next, not next, it has been a great frontier of growth and many, many opportunities unrolling, unfolding in front of us. So I'm sure you must have some regional plans. Do you have any? Are you planning to launch something?
Bang on, Pavan. We are actually looking at launching our next channel in quarter one of next year, which is going to be in the regional space.
Okay.
More on that later, because yes, that's where there's a huge growing audience coming up. While we are in HSM, there's a whole India, and all the geographics that we talk about. And yes, there are plans to launch another channel in quarter one, and we're very excited and working, you know, hard to make that happen and have success in that too.
All the best, Godspeed, and God bless with your new or your future plans. Tell me something about the growing trends of content consumption that India as a market is seeing across rural places, you know, rural areas, across tier 2, 3 cities. Simran, the Q is a Hindi channel for Hindi-speaking audiences, but the name is nice and Angrezi in English. But yeah, it's a simple name. Nevertheless, what has been the trend like in the rural audiences? Your consumption, only television and linear, and of course, cable and DTH. But what about mobile? What about something on the streaming side? You know, you might not want to have your own streaming platform because anyways, it's a curated content channel. But what about access to users, to viewers through, you know, maybe mobile telco networks and other such partnerships? What are your plans on that? Or are you doing something like that right
now? So Pavan, first to answer your question, that the queue is actually a very Angrezi word. You know, finally, it is all about, you know, finally, Q is like, you know, the letter Q is actually a search letter. Whichever language you look in, you know, any regional or any other language, the Q actually is a search icon. So I think that's why we call ourselves the Q, because that is the letter, but actually it's about searching and searching digital content. So as I told you earlier on, the Q wants to actually stand for everything that is in the creator economy, the digital creator economy. So what you see currently is only the TV channel, which is programmed by digital creators. But we obviously have huge plans to be in digital space and the entire ecosystem of the digital space. So that's where we are, and there are big plans. We have big plans unfolding in the next, nine to 12 months, where you will see a lot more action happening for us, because we actually want to stand for Young India, and we all know Young India is all about digital consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be lots of other aspects of the ecosystem that the queue will be covering that you will be seeing in the next, like I said, 9 to 12 months.
Excellent. So I'm sure that an OTT version or something very close to it is coming very, very soon. All the best for that.
So, you know, talking of OTTs, like I said, we're already on a lot of platforms, whether it's Chingari, whether it's MX Player, we're going to be on Airtel Extreme. We also on connected TVs like Samsung TV Plus. So, you know, there are lots of options, lots of, you know, ways that one can watch the queue.
Hmm.
Now, what form our next foray into the digital ecosystem will take will be something at the right time and the best option that is available. Because I think this is a constantly evolving space.
Right.
And, you know, we will obviously be part of that whole journey, which is, you know, everything is unfolding so fast and so soon. So we'll be part of that going forward, not necessarily an OTT platform of our own, but we've got enough partners that we have with great, great reach.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, Simran, you had such an excellent career over the years. So what have you brought to the queue table?
Good question. So Pavan, I spent, like you mentioned, about 25 odd years in television, and I've actually been part of that journey of, you know, when television just started in the, I mean, you and me joined Sony 3 days before the channel got launched. So I've actually been part of that initial revolution of television. And of course, I think the biggest learning for me has been, I've been part of startups, whether it was at Sony Entertainment Television in 95 or in 2008, I was with, I joined Viacom, I joined Colors, you know, 8 months before the channel was launched. And that was 13 years after I joined Sony, you know.
Wow.
13 years later today, sitting in 2021, I'm actually at another startup. So I've had this 13 years of, you know, 13 is a lucky number for me. So 13 years after that, after Colors and Viacom were launched in 2008, coming back to 2021, the year we're in, I was actually, you know, the whole startup culture is something that I'm so excited about. And I think that whole thing of, you know, getting teams together and everybody being very passionate about what they do. And like you mentioned, there's no substitute for hard work and, you know, everybody in all our teams firing together. I think so my entire job has been to get the best people and the best specialists that we have today to come as one and actually, you know, build a brand called The Queue. And I think that's one of my biggest contributions, that we have some of the best people in our team, and we've had the astounding success that we've had already. And how is it that we can actually take brand queue, you know, take the queue to different heights and actually become network to reckon with?
Absolutely. Actually, I doff my non-existent hat to your success and to your teams, both excellent so far. So all the best there. And yeah, I mean, just imagine you went to two small little startups. One was called Sony Entertainment Television and the other was called Viacom 18 in India with Colors. And look at how big and massive and truly all-encompassing, when you look at the mental homepages of audiences across India and even worldwide, both these entities have become. So I'm sure that the queue doesn't have to worry, because there is Simran who will say, "Main hoon na."
There's a whole team which is actually, you know, responsible for where we are today, and, you know, all ready to, you know, do our best going further.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do you ensure that, you know, look, you get the best team, the creative teams, the marketing teams, the sales and distribution guys, girls, everybody, all of them together, and everyone passionate? Because when you pick somebody who's really a very good worker and, you know, experienced and passionate and brings a lot of insights of experience and problem solving and forward thinking, innovative abilities, such people are very passionate about and hold what they like and their ideas very close to their hearts, right? So how do you ensure that the creative and all these teams work cohesively and independently, you know? Because in most places, in many places, brand custodians tell me that their biggest problem is to reduce the noise of the echo chamber of similar thoughts and ideas. And over here, you have people who are diverse and extremely passionate and professional about what they do. So how do you ensure cohesiveness and independence in the working for the best result?
So Pavan, the first thing that, you know, which is, I think, most imperative is that you have a passionate lot of people. We also have a very lean team and we ensure that, you know, every stakeholder, every custodian in their particular field, like I mentioned, is a specialist, has actually, you know, voiced their views and you know, present their views to a core team. And then we, of course, slice and dice each other's work. It does not matter, you know, it's just that core group that takes decisions. And so that we ensure that the best comes out. So it's not hierarchical at all. It's always looking at how we can create the best idea, whether it comes from the junior most person or the senior most person. I think we just have a very open environment. And everybody in our team is open to feedback and to ensure that we actually buy into everything that we do. And of course, there is still enough delegation, authority and responsibility at every level to, you know, make sure that that happens. But yes, we all make sure that we are actually, you know, literally do fine-tooth combing to all the critical decisions we take, where there is a buy-in from everyone, so that then it's only about execution, and then execution cannot go wrong. That's where, you know, this whole, you know, call it leadership by democracy, or, you know, whichever way, or, you know, thinking like entrepreneurs. So that's how we all actually make sure that we get the best for the brand, the Q.
Excellent. What objectives or milestones have you set for the Q, you know, in the short, middle and long terms? Actually, you've told me about a few very, very big things that are coming up. The regional channel soon, maybe 8 to 12 months subsequently, something nice, big in digital. So basically, what are your milestones that you've set for the Q?
So Pavan, given that we are actually very unique in our space, we're the only ones who are actually doing what we're doing. So we actually already at a leadership position when we come to what we are doing. But yes, we want to actually look at the Q as not being just a TV channel, but actually a whole, you know, like a big network when it comes to every facet of, you know, being totally platform agnostic, and actually be a formidable brand. Just like there have been bigger networks that have been established over years today, we actually want to do that in the medium run, and in the long run, of course, be, you know, standing for Young India and the brand for Young India.
Super, super. Simran, I really enjoyed our conversation, this whole chat. Thank you for all the time that you've given us today. What did you think of our conversation so far?
So Pavan, I've been listening to your podcast, you know, for a while now. And I think the best part about, you know, your podcast is how you make, you know, everybody actually feel so comfortable. And, you know, you're like very direct in your questions and, you know, just take the best out of all the people you invited. There's lots of learning that I've had from your podcast.
You're very kind. Thank you very much indeed, Simran. Is there any message for the readers of MediaBrief.com? What do you think about the site?
Well, so the MediaBrief is unique in its, you know, in the entire ecosystem, and continuing all the good work. And also when it comes to podcasts, I haven't seen too many players in that space. And I think that's the way to go the future. And I wish you all the best at MediaBrief and, you know, and all your stakeholders and partners.
As kind, as sweet, as direct, and as heartwarming as ever. So thank you very much, Simran. And thanks also once again to Sharon Hendricks of Mondial, and also to Sujata from your team. You truly have amazing people around you, and you're really well covered. I must say that, Simran.
Thank you, Pavan.
Simran Hoon, Chief Executive Officer of The Q, was my distinguished guest on this episode of the Masters Voice on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend, Pawan R. Chawla. I hope you enjoyed the wonderful insights and the warmth and the passion that Simran actually reflects and sparkles with every time she speaks and everywhere she goes as a leader who takes startups and molds them into really massive behemoths. Till we meet again in the next episode of the Masters Voice on MediaBrief.com, this is your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla saying thank you very much indeed for having tuned in. Stay safe, keep smiling, bye-bye.